Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Menke, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. And how do I pronounce your name? Is it
My name is Stuart, but I'm Adrian's I'm Adrian's producer. I'm going to put her on, and she's going to brief you on everything. And
gotcha.
Adrian,
then is how I should address her. Okay, thank you.
But it's not doctor. It's Adrian Berg.
Adrian Berg, perfect.
Yes, and Adrian is fine to when you talk to her. That's perfect. So I'm going to put her on. So hang on. Headset, mic.
Hello, Dr. Menke.
Hi, Adrian. How are you doing?
I am good. I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
I'm very close, and it's a very hard name to pronounce. It's Monka. Kind of rhymes
Monka.
With Tonka, like a Tonka truck, or Wonka, like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And you are also more than welcome to call me Henry, which what most people call me and is very easy to pronounce.
Well, I may do both. So first of all, the way this goes is very simple. We have four segments. They're 9 to 11 minutes or so. Music brings us in and out. I know when the music is going to start and you don't. So if it sounds like I'm talking a little bit longer, it's because I don't want you to get cut off by the music. And the rest of it is what you would expect. I'm going to ask about, of course, the issue of driving and why what we're doing today isn't fitting the bill, the importance of it to the boomer. They don't want to give their keys away ever. And then we'll talk about the solutions that you have from Brain HQ. So it's going to go pretty much
great.
In that
and
order.
That sounds great. And that's going to occur over 9 to 11 minutes. Did I understand that right?
In four times, 9 to 11 minutes. We're going to be, we've got four sessions together.
Okay,
and
this
got
is on my calendar. This is only on my calendar for 30 minutes. That's why I asked, but it sounds like
well,
we will be talking for longer than that.
It's an hour show, but a lot of the things that go on, we don't record now. So we try to get in about 40 minutes with you. So it's close to the 30. So what I'm going to do is
I have another appointment that I need to move. That's all.
Okay. Right now you don't have to move it because all right, go ahead and do that. Stuart, does he also have to stay on?
No,
he doesn't. Okay, good. So the minute that we're finished, you can leave. And
I just need to tell them. So we'll be finished. It sounds like we'll be talking for about 30 to 40 minutes. So I might expect
right.
to be done on the hour then. Okay.
Exactly. Now, do you have to send somebody a message or can we get started?
I do. It's just going to take a moment. So.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I'm all set then.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I always ask if there is one thing that you want to make sure you get out through this program, what would it be? So I make sure I ask you that question.
I think the single most important message that I have from a science perspective is that, hey, brains can change and rewire, and that if we do the right things with our brains, we'll have better, healthier brains.
Okay, so the plasticity is what you're what you're talking about. Okay,
that's
great.
Right.
And
if it would be kind if you at some point offered me the opportunity to let people know they could go to our website at www.brainhq.com.
You're going to get that a lot. By the way, I know Posit Science from long ago when they just began.
Oh, wonderful.
And I wonder, but they have other modalities too. So if you wanted to mention that, you can. We'll talk about that, you know, later. Or if this is the only topic you want to talk about, that's fine with me as well.
I am happy to, as it's appropriate in the flow of our conversation, to expand the conversation, to sort of say, hey, how about beyond driving, and then talk a bit about the other ways that we do cognitive training.
Very good. Okay. Now I will call you Henry, but Monca is a better way, is the right way. Dr. Monca?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Fine. All right. I'm not going to take your time on how we do this. I'm going to tell you a PR person. I usually tell the guest also. But it gets disseminated a lot, and we use it in many ways, and so can you. And that will all be sent to your PR people. Okay?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thanks.
Great. All right. So we're ready, Stu, whenever you are.
Good. 10 seconds of silence. Start. I'm going to start the music. And you go after me, because this is a music one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So just go watch for the end, that's all.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. Now, the one thing we don't want to do, we are scared of this survey show. We don't want to give away the keys. And a time comes in the life, probably already in your life, if you're a baby boomer like most of my audience, where you've seen some decline in your parents or an older loved one, and they don't want to stop driving, and you want them to, and you say to yourself, I don't want to be like that. I never want anybody to wrestle those keys out of my hands. I want to drive for the rest of my life. Okay. There may come a time when that is not safe, but you can make your driving life as long as possible with a particular kind of modality we're going to be talking about today. And so if you want driving longevity, just like you have bio longevity that we talk about all the time, you're really going to want to listen to this show. Now, I'm going to make a little bit of a transition with a bit of business. Please don't forget to go on our website, adrienneberg.com, adrienneberg.com, and sign up for our free newsletter. Every single week, you get hints and tips on successful aging. And just this week, we sent you two, free of charge, three really important biological seminars that are really only open to folks who are in the medical profession. One of them had to do with COVID vaccines, and Dr. Fauci was the speaker, and several others that make you an insider on successful aging and longevity. So right now, I want to introduce you to our guest, Dr. Monca, and he is going to tell you about something called Brain HQ. But before we do that, it is a modality from Posit Science, a company I've known for a very long time. In the early days of Age Tech, we used to meet up at different conferences, and they are one of the few, I'm going to be honest with you, one of the few Age Tech companies that have flourished and survived. Many of them are things of the past. But one reason is they have really catered to our needs, the needs of the older baby boomer, the emerging baby boomer, and of course, the caregiver of somebody who's a little older and wants to strengthen their driving strengths, among many other things. And they look at science to do that, not gimmicks. So I'm going to turn to Dr. Monca right now, because there was a newly published survey, a meta-analysis, systematic review, of what has been used to help us all drive longer. And frankly, it doesn't work. So first we're going to state the problem, but then we have some answers. So Dr. Monca, tell us a little bit about this review that was done. It was published in a very important magazine that really deals with drivers and vehicles, the Accident Analysis and Prevention Journal. And really isn't good news. Most of the thing we're working at to drive longer simply isn't working. Tell us a bit about that until we get to the good news.
I'd be happy to, Adrienne. And first of all, thanks for having me on your show. It's really a pleasure. And it's always a pleasure to reconnect with someone that we've known since the earliest days of getting brain training and what we're doing at Posit Science going. So you're right about the story. There is some bad news in there, but I'm very much a glass half full guy. That's very much a key part of my strategy for successful aging, I would say. And so you're absolutely right to say that there is some great news in there as well. So, you know, this was a study that was led by a scientific colleague of mine, Dr. Jerry Edwards at the University of South Florida. And, you know, she's been studying driving and driver education and aging for, 20 years now. She's really an absolute leader in the field. And one of the things that she and her research team got interested in was, there are a lot of ways that we try to improve older driver safety. So let's read all of the scientific papers on this topic and
right.
Let's take a comprehensive look, as you said, a systematic review of everything that's known about this. And, you know, there are a lot of things out there that people try for driver safety, right? One of the most common ones is driver education. You know, maybe we should take older drivers and we should send them back to school, right? Teach them how to use the turn signal again, or, you know, remind all of ourselves, how do we enter lanes on the highway? And then there are other kind of programs as well. There are programs that, sort of teach people to adjust how their car suits them. And then there are programs that tackle things that are, you know, more like, hey, what happens in the brain as we age? Is it changes to our brain and our speed and our reaction time that relate to our driving safety as we age? And, as you said, to lead off with some news that might be surprising to a lot of you is that, hey, when you look on the whole, there's not good evidence that classic driver education is very helpful. And I think this does come as a surprise to a lot of people, because there are a lot of driver education classes out there.
They sure
aimed
are.
Aimed at older drivers. But there are. There's tons. And when you think about it, it's fair to ask yourself, hey, why would that work? You know, if you are, let's say you're 70 years old and you've probably been driving for 50 years. You know, is it, do you think, Adrienne, that the problem that a person who's 70 has is that they have forgotten how to use a turn signal, or they're not really familiar with how to enter a highway as they're driving?
Well, let me answer that. The answer is no, I don't think that's the problem. But the fact is, if that really is a problem, their problem is not driving. They have another kind of issue. So we have to be sensitive to the fact that if we're not seeing as well, if we don't know our left from our right, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, and we always did, then we do have some concerns. But that's a different kind of concern. The fact is, you're right. If we have learned a skill like that, we probably still have the ability to use that skill. So reteaching the same skill is not going to help us.
Exactly. I think, most older drivers, they know how to use a turn signal. They know how to enter a highway. Now, like you're saying, if you have truly forgotten how to use a turn signal, that is a whole different story. And, you know, being evaluated for memory loss or mild cognitive impairment would certainly be a good idea at that point. But most of us, I think, are not in that boat. And of course, that's what this scientific review has shown us. This is sending people back to school doesn't actually make them safer drivers. And that's the glass half empty part, because there's a lot of those schools.
Right, right.
But the glass half full part is that it turns out there are some very effective interventions that are out there for improving older driver safety. And one of the ones that come forth most strongly is brain training or cognitive training. And, you know, this tackles the issue from a whole different perspective. So, you know, what people are doing with brain training, and here I should say I'm the CEO of Posit Science. We make one of the brain training programs that Dr. Edwards evaluated in her review. And the idea with brain training is that, hey, as we get older, and here, Adrian, what I mean by getting older is turning about 30, because these changes
right.
start to happen in our brains really once we're out of our 20s. You know, what happens as we get older, step by step, is that our brains get a bit noisier. They get a bit less accurate, a bit less precise, a bit less fast. And that has all kinds of effects on how our brain processes information. But one of the things that happens that's relevant to driving is that, you know, we become slower to notice things in our peripheral vision, particularly when we're paying attention right ahead of us. So, you know, it's almost like it's called the useful field of view. It's almost like our field of view kind of gets narrower. We can see what's ahead of us really well, but we just
but
don't notice things in our peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
as quickly
when
and accurately.
We come back, yeah, when we come back, we're going to look at a lot of things, the plasticity of the brain, the fact that you can learn, this peripheral vision issue, hand-eye coordination, all the things that Brain HQ from Posit Science kind of retrains us, helps us, spruces us up. And according to many journals and studies, is actually more effective in allowing us to drive longer. So before we leave this segment, we go on to the next one in a few minutes. I want just to emphasize how big this issue is. 44 million drivers are over the age of 65. There are 78 million baby boomers, by the way. And they are getting close to 65, even the youngest. Remember, there's 18 years between the youngest and the oldest of baby boomers. But 44 million are over the age of 65. And they rank second only to the new drivers, to the inexperienced drivers in crash rates. So this is not a light topic. And they have the highest fatality rates. You don't want that. So you stay with us, and we will talk about the good news with Brain HQ and some of the things that you can do for yourself and the loved ones that you may want to suggest this to. Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, and we're going to not spend a lot of time because I know you it's an issue for you. So we'll go right into the next segment, but I will start by asking you how to find Brain HQ and what they find if they go on the website. Is that okay?
Yeah, super.
And then we'll go into
the
vision issue. Okay, and then we'll go into the vision issue. All right, so wait for the music and we'll be quiet right now.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. Now, again, we always start with a bit of business. You might know that in my other life, I guess it's called my real job, I'm the executive director of the Catalyst Institute for the prevention and the delay of age-related diseases. And I hang with the geroscientists. And what I'm working on right now is making sure people know what geroscience is. But it is the science not of growing older, but of studying aging and even age reversal. And no, we're not immortalists or woo-woo out there. You're going to live forever. You're going to learn how to fly. These are the people who get the drugs like metformin through, if you have diabetes, you know that drug very well, and many others through the FDA. These are also the folks who have created the vaccines that you're thinking about taking. You can't wait to get on the market for COVID and many other diseases. So if you are interested in learning the biologic versus the chronologic issues of aging, you want to look at our institute. It's thekitalysinstitute.org. Very simple. KITALYS.org. And you already, many of you, hundreds of you, took part in our October conference called Metabesity 2020. And the good news is we will be having a Metabesity 2021. We had 1,000 people at our virtual conference last year, and we're making it a hybrid. It will be in Washington, D.C., if we're allowed. And in any case, it will also be virtual. We had about 14 or 15 countries participating. So that's the good news. And there's more good news. We're going to switch now to our guest, and he is the CEO of Posit Science, a company I've known for a long time now, from its birth and my first foray into the world of gerontology, after being a lawyer for 35 years in the field of elder law. And we're going to talk about some good news, which is the fact that you can retrain your brain so that you are better driving skills and ability, and you don't fall into the category of the parent whose kids want to take their keys away. And we're here with Dr. Monca to discuss that. Now, before we do anything, Doctor, tell us, if we go to Brain HQ, what's the website to go to? What will we find when we get there?
Anyone who is interested in trying out these kinds of brain training exercises is welcome to come join us. You can come to www.brainhq.com. And one great thing about the website is that anyone can register for free. And if you register for free, it'll give you a brain training exercise every single day to try out. And that's just a wonderful way to decide if, hey, this is something for you, if you're interested, if you like the exercises and think you could benefit. So really the easiest thing in the world for anyone who's listening to your show to say, hey, I'd like to give that a try.
Now, I will also tell everybody, and here's the punchline, some insurance companies that insure your car and insure your driving may even give you a discount if you take some of these courses. So you should know that. It's really an important thing for you to think about. But if you need the incentive, there could be a financial incentive here, a little different in each case. Now, in our last segment, Doctor, we were talking about one of the things that we do lose, which is perhaps some of our peripheral vision. And I'm going to ask you a personal question here. My mother, she was very difficult. She had glaucoma and she had macular degeneration. So because that's inherited, I take tests. I take visual field tests constantly. And so far, so good. But does that relate to what you're saying? I mean, I always felt that the lack of peripheral vision came because of a disease like glaucoma, which I might have one day, hopefully not. But are you saying then that many people, just by virtue of aging, might also lose some of that peripheral vision? Or is it a different kind of condition?
Both of those things are true. And what I mean by that is that the kind of peripheral vision, older people, as all of us age, and I'm in this group as well, we do all start to experience this loss of awareness in our peripheral vision on the average. But it's very, very different than things like glaucoma. And what I mean by that is that, glaucoma is something that specifically happens in the eye. Literally, it becomes more difficult for light to make it through the eye and through the lens and make it to the brain. But what I'm talking about are actually changes that are in the brain, not in the eye. And what's interesting about that is, if we think about a peripheral vision, we think about, perhaps you're driving and you're entering an intersection. If there's a car that's going perpendicular to you that might jump a stop sign, that visual information still makes it through our eye at any age. That information is actually transmitted to our brain. But what happens is that because our brains have gotten noisier and more fuzzy as we've gotten older, that although the information arrives at our brain, it doesn't get processed by our attention systems. And in that sense, we don't notice it. So in this way, the root causes of the issue are very, very different than glaucoma or cataracts or nearsightedness or farsightedness, all of which are issues that affect the eye itself. This is really a brain issue.
And this is to say that this can happen to you and may be happening to you without you realizing it, even though your eye exams are perfectly fine. We talk a lot, Doctor, about fluid intelligence and how we may be losing fluid intelligence and quickness. And I want to I want to emphasize something very important here. When I talk to the audience or I'm a speaker and I talk about age reversal, it's very sensitive because it sounds like science fiction. But if this is happening to us and brain HQ, let's say, brain games, brain exercises, can reverse or stop it, that's age reversal too. It's not just living forever. You have to understand that this is part of that. So what type of brain exercise might help with this issue?
Well, the term age reversal is certainly a really interesting one. And on the one hand, of course, you know, I hear you and I agree with you. It sounds like sort of an amazing claim, almost a ridiculous claim, you know, is that snake oil? But we already know this in another domain. We just don't call it age reversal. So anyone at any age can start to get more exercise. And if you get more exercise, that exercise is going to change your body, right? You're going to get stronger. Your heart's going to get healthier. You're going to have more endurance. You might lower your cholesterol and your triglycerides and so forth. Now, we don't usually call that age reversal. We just call it getting healthier. But it is
right,
kind
we call
of
it
like
wellness.
Age reversal. Right.
Yeah, wellness.
We call it wellness.
Word,
wellness.
Yeah,
but,
word.
You know, it's a little bit like age reversal, right? If you start to exercise, you might have the heart function of someone who's a little bit younger than your current age. And so when we think about brain training, we think about it exactly the same way. I don't usually use the term age reversal for the reasons that you lay out, but we think about it as brain health and brain wellness. If you do the right things with your brain, you can make your brain healthier and faster and have better cognitive function. And that's why it's so exciting in a way that the changes we're talking about that relate to driving safety are changes that occur in the brain. You know, when the changes occur in the eye, like glaucoma or macular degeneration, there's not a lot we can do about them right now, unfortunately. But with changes in the brain, in some ways there are, and that's because the brain itself remains plastic or capable of change and reorganizing throughout our entire life. So if we ask our brain to do the right thing with the right kind of experience, the right kind of brain training programs, we can rewire it. As a result, we can actually help people, help ourselves, help myself, because I do these training programs too, you know, do things like improve our useful field of view, have faster and more accurate vision in our peripheral vision. And on the one hand, it's age reversal. It's a superpower, without a doubt, right?
Okay.
On the other hand, really what it is it's health and wellness, right? We're just taking care of a part of our body, and that part of our body is the brain.
Now, when we also talk about things we lose, another thing that we lose is hand-eye coordination. Sometimes we were great at baseball or even golf, and we stopped.
Yes.
If we stopped, we're not so good anymore when we get back on the field. Well, that's not so different from driving. So I'm wondering whether the idea of hand-eye coordination is something that we can also maintain or even strengthen through Brain HQ.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the reason that we start to lose hand-eye coordination is actually it's the same reason that we start to lose that peripheral attention, peripheral vision. And so our brains become noisier and fuzzier. And so really, you know, as a scientist, what do we mean by hand-eye coordination? We mean that the information that comes in, let's say, for our visual system, what we're seeing, right? Maybe we're seeing a ball being pitched towards us. Maybe we're looking down the green and we're seeing where the, you know, where the hole is. That information comes through our brain. And, you know, if our brain is operating quickly and accurately, well, that information gets turned into a muscle command quickly and accurately. We swing the bat at the right time. We hit the ball with the right force in the right direction. But if our brain has gotten noisier, if that information processing has gotten fuzzier, you know, it's kind of like watching the scene on a TV that's got static in it. We're not 100% sure how fast the ball is coming at us. We're not 100% sure how far down the green that hole is. And so when we issue those commands to our muscles, they're inaccurate. And we don't swing the bat at the right time or hit the ball correctly.
So we come back on our next segment. We may say we don't want to miss the ball. So you stay with us because we want to get practical now. And ask the doctor, how often do we have to do these brain games? You know, exercise is something that we know is good for us, but we run from it. Now we need even more exercise? Well, let's talk about it. Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, we're going to go right into segment three. Right, okay.
That's it?
Yep.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And this is not the only way that I get you information on successful aging and longevity. We also have a weekly newsletter, and every single week I give you at least three special invitations that I get in my inbox, but that we just can't talk about it. We don't have time to talk about it on the air in my blogs, so that you get invited to sessions that generally only folks in the field of aging, gerontology, geroscience would get invited to. And some of it is just a lot of fun, having to do with things like AI, artificial intelligence, certainly having to do with beauty, having to do with sarcopenia. You know, our arms begin to look like we could fly. They get so floppy. Well, there are things you can do about that. And everything that I invite you to is always free of charge. This is my labor of love as I look at the world of aging, and I see how rapidly we may be looking at the greatest challenge of our certainly decade, maybe of our century. And that is longevity that is healthy, not just longevity. Well, if you're going to live long and prosper, you want to be able to continue to drive. And so I devote, you see what I did there, Dr. Monka? I devoted this program to that. But I got to tell a secret. Now, not everybody knows this, but some do. I did not start to drive until I was 54 years old. And I'll tell you why.
Wow.
I am right-left dyslexic. Now, that is not normal. 4,000 people in the United States are completely right-left dyslexic. That means that if you say right, I will raise my left hand. And I can't do anything about that. I just don't go to a Zumba class because I'm going to knock you down. The minute they say, go right, grapevine, I'm going the other direction. And I've learned to compensate all my life through that from the time I was born. But the one thing I could not do was drive safely. I actually got a license, and I memorized the course, and that's how I got to get my license. But I was having too many minor accidents, and I stopped driving. When I began to drive, and I've been driving now for 20 years, it was because of technology. And that was called the GPS, who talked to me and showed me exactly which direction to go. So you can imagine how devoted I am to the idea of technology. And this is really what positive science is about, looking at the science and then bringing the technology to us. So what you've been telling us at Brain HQ is, look, there are ways that you can simply reverse some of the deficits of aging, of your awareness of what's going on in the periphery, like hand-eye coordination we talked a little bit about. There's a lot of other things. But they are exercises, and I would like you to be realistic with us. You mentioned regular bio exercises, but you got to do them. So
you got to do them.
tell us about what it's really like. Maybe describing what you do in your life, or what you suggest, what positive science suggests in terms of personal commitment to this.
Yeah, so it is important to be realistic, and there are no magic bullets, right? I'm not here to tell you that Brain HQ or brain training is a magic bullet where you take one pill and all of a sudden you're going to have the brain function of someone in their 30s. And if anyone does tell you that, you know that they're selling snake oil one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But what I am here to tell you is that, hey, in the same way that a regular pattern of physical activity can help make your heart healthier and give you more energy and improve your quality of life. Now, the right regular patterns of brain practice, brain exercise, brain activity can do the same thing for you at the brain level. So, you know, first of all, what does the science tell us? Well, most of the science done with Brain HQ exercises has shown that as few as 10 hours of training, or in other cases, studies with 40 hours of training or so, you know, are enough to drive improvements in cognitive function and real-world function. And on the one hand, maybe that seems like a lot, but, you know, 10 or 40 hours of training spread out over the course of 2 or 3 or 4 months, you know, what are we really talking about? We're really talking about training your brain maybe about 2 hours a week, you know, sustainably for 8, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 14 weeks, 4 months in that area. And, you know, viewed that way, that's actually, as a scientist, remarkably little brain training. And in fact, we often get the question from the other side, how do you drive such large effects with such a limited amount of brain training? And, you know, I can talk more about how that works at the brain level. The short answer is that, hey, brains are pretty plastic and you can change them pretty rapidly if you apply yourself. So it's not a magic bullet. It does take time and effort, but it takes time and effort that's, you know, probably similar to what people are already thinking about for physical exercise. It's certainly not more than that. And in that sense, it's something that I think a lot of people who are looking to make a positive improvement in their brain health, you know, it's something that people can find time to work into their lives.
So let me just say a couple of results here, because it is pretty astounding. We said before that of the drivers who are over the age of 65, 44 million of them do drive, and they are second only to the brand new novice driver in crashing. Even more devastating is that if you're over the age of 75, when you do have a crash, we have the highest death rates. But here are some of the studies have shown about positive results. 38% fewer dangerous driving maneuvers, faster reaction time, which you were mentioning before, equivalent to 22 feet more stopping distance at 55 miles an hour. And then you have the emotional side. And let's turn to that for a moment. The emotional side is the greater confidence in driving in difficult conditions. Now, I have to tell you that that's a very interesting concept, because it's very hard to quantify. I live with a fella who is the best driver I know. I think it's genetic. His father was one of those drivers that would take one car from one place to another for you until he was 87 years. Yeah, until he was 87 years old. So good driving runs in that family. Meanwhile, I could not drive until I was 54. But that feeling of confidence, how do you measure that? Is that empirical? Thank yous from your customers, or because it's very important.
Well, let me say one thing about your fella, if you don't mind. It sounds like he's a great driver, and his dad was too. I don't think that means it's genetic. I bet your fellow's dad gave him an awful lot of driving training as he was a teenager and a young man. And in that sense, your fellow's brain got rewired by his dad. So it's not the genes. I bet it's the life experience of having a parent who had that skill and passed it on.
That's
generally how we think about brain plasticity.
I have to tell you, that is so fascinating. My father-in-law was a dry cleaner, and he was one of those dry cleaners that delivered the clothes. And my husband sat with him from being a little boy all the way up through teens, delivering clothes in the truck and watching him drive. You're absolutely right.
That is the brain input right there. And so, you know, about the confidence, you know, when we measure confidence, this is a very quantitative, scientifically rigorous measurement. This is not a vague, hey, I really like this, or I feel better now. The way this gets measured is with a questionnaire that's about driving habits and what's called drive space. And the questionnaire asks you basically three families of questions, the first of which is, hey, how far are you comfortable driving? Right? Are you the kind of person who only drives down to the corner store, or are you the kind of person who drives across the country from time to time? And the second group of questions ask you about your driving frequency. Do you drive once a month? Do you drive 4 times a day? And then the last question, and perhaps the most interesting questions, are around what are the restrictions that you impose on your own driving? So some people, for example, are not comfortable making a left turn. Some people are not comfortable driving at night. Some people are only comfortable driving if someone else is in the car with them to kind of keep an eye out. To which my answer is always, hey, maybe let that person drive. It's those numbers that then get turned into an overall measure of driving confidence. And if you're a person who only drives once a month and you only drive to the corner store and you never drive at night, you get kind of a low score on driving confidence.
Right.
And alternatively, if you drive every day and you're happy to drive from one state to the next and, you know, you drive at night, then you're going to get a high score. So that's where those numbers come from. They're really very quantitative measures of how comfortable are people with driving behaviors.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about how this can impact your life if a time comes that you don't drive. I want you to think about that in the moments between now and our next segment. Think about your life if they did take away the keys. We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
This is our last segment. All right, so this is our last segment, and when we're finished, I know you will and have to get off. I'll get all the information to your PR people about how we're going to, you know, when this airs, which will be at the end of the week, and how we put it on YouTube and social media and so on, okay? Instead of giving you the details.
Wonderful.
Now, this, because it's the last segment, I am going to start again with having them go to Brain HQ. But I will ask one more time, is there anything that you did not get out that you're really burning to get out, because this is the time?
Maybe if we had just one moment, we'll step back and say, hey, beyond driving, you know, this kind of brain health can improve a broader set of things around cognitive function,
okay,
and quality of life.
Excellent. All right, we're ready to go.
Okay,
soon.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. Now, for those of you who have my newsletter, you know that you were invited to a streaming, you could really listen to it anytime you want, a webinar on biomarkers with four of the top geroscientists in the world who are working on biomarkers, looking actually at different indices or hallmarks of aging in your particular body and marking them to tell you what your biologic age is. So it's a fascinating topic. There are even websites that are called the biologic clock and so on. And people are beginning to use them. And so, of course, doctors are beginning to use them. And even the NIH, National Institute on Health, and NIA, National Institute on Aging, are looking at making those covered right now. If you want to get your biomarkers and understand what they are, you have to pay for it and see how useful they really are. It's almost, think of it as a glorified scale. You might go on the scale to be able to track your weight. Well, you may be able to track the hallmarks of aging. Now, this week, just this week, December 14th, actually, two very important things happened. Deep Longevity, which is really a funding group for geroscience, came up with a biomarker of psychological aging. And the second major thing that happened was, and I'm part of this group, the United Nations declared 2021 through 2030 the International Decade of Healthy Aging. They had never done anything like this before, and of course, COVID was a big catalyst to this. So things are popping globally, and if you want to know what is the cutting edge of not only the science, but the culture of aging, ageism, the ability to work and stay in the workforce, all of these things you will know from our newsletter every week. It's free, always free. Adrienne, ADRIANEBERG.com, and sign up. So let's go back. We've been talking about, with the CEO of Posit Science, a particular one of their modalities, the use of Brain HQ to help us drive. Now, Dr. Monica, when we go to Brain HQ, we see more than just driving skills. And Posit Science is focused on many of the things that allow us to reverse or maintain our mental capacity as we age through your research and through exercises that we do. So give us a little bit more of a smorgasbord, we'll say, of some of the things we can accomplish through brain exercises.
Yeah, that's a great and an important observation, Adrian, because everything we've been talking about how the brain works as related to driving, where we've been saying, look, the brain gets noisier, it gets slower, it gets less precise on the average as we get older, and that affects our driving skills. We don't notice things as well as our peripheral vision. Well, when you step back, that same basic story affects just about everything about our brain and how it works in the world on the average. So we can take a huge jump and talk about hearing, right? As we get older, on the average, our hearing systems in the brain get a little slower and noisier as well. And as a result, it can be hard to hear people who are speaking quickly, like young kids. It can be hard to hear well in a noisy environment, like you know, if you're at a restaurant in the pre-COVID days, that might be noisy. It could be hard to hear who you're talking with over dinner. And those same changes in the brain actually can be improved in the same way we talked about driving. So at Posit Science, at part of Brain HQ, there's actually more than 24 brain training exercises that target everything from vision to hearing to memory to decision-making and attention. And, you know, as a neuroscientist, each one of those exercises targets a different part of the brain, but in the same way, to make that part of the brain work more quickly and more accurately. And in the same way, if you think about going to the gym, you might see 14 kinds of weight machines, and you might see rowing machines, and you might see step classes, and you might see a basketball court. You know, all of those things in their own way can contribute to physical health, and all these different kinds of brain exercises can contribute to brain health and help improve very broad things like memory and decision-making, and even improve things like depressive symptoms and help people improve their overall health-related quality of life. So it's an amazing reminder that the brain's a part of the body. And a really important one. Sorry, thank you.
No, certainly. And I will say that in terms of loneliness, one of the number one killers of older adults, a lot of that has to do with not being able to hear. You often self-isolate that way, even in a crowd. And it's pretty devastating. It does cause depression. Dr. Nir Barzilai, who's I'm a devotee of his work, he's the head of research in aging at Albert Einstein, and his latest book came out, but he has done the centenarian study, and he studies people over the age of 100. And I asked him, did anybody die of COVID that you've been studying? He says, one woman. What happened? She didn't get COVID. She stopped eating because of depression, because of her isolation.
Oh my goodness.
This is a really, really important thing, connecting hearing. I have two blogs out called Hear This, begging people to admit that they cannot hear and take care of it because they can. So this is really a far-reaching sort of thing. Now, what I wanted to ask you also with regard to this, you know, it's just like exercise. Is it possible to be competitive about this? This is something I don't know about Posit Science. Wondering if you've been looking at the motivation for people.
I think it's a wonderful question. It's a wonderful question, actually. We spent a lot of time thinking about motivations because, as we talked about a moment ago, you do have to do Brain HQ in order to benefit from it. And so we think a lot and we talk to a lot of people about, hey, what would motivate you to do more brain training? And it's interesting. When we talk to our users, you know, they come in, I would call, two segments. I would say the majority of them, but not the overwhelming majority, but certainly the majority, are in a segment where, hey, they mostly want to make sure they maintain what they have in terms of cognitive function, and they want a fair amount of guidance and a comfort, right? They want to know that they're using Brain HQ correctly. They're doing this the way that scientists want to do it. And this group of people, when we interview them, you know, they want to see that they're making progress compared to their own baseline, where they started.
Uh-huh.
But they're actually not really that interested in knowing where they stand compared to other people, because, you know, maybe they're a little apprehensive or nervous about it. And so we have a system in Brain HQ called the personal trainer that's exactly right for those kinds of people. And it puts you on a schedule and tells you what to do each day, and you see your progress day after day. But there's definitely a second group of users, and there are a fair number of these that are you know, what I would call really achievement oriented, right? They don't want to just do necessarily 3 times a week, 30 minutes of time. They want to see that they're in the top 10th percentile of people on speed scores, right? They actually want to compare their scores to their friends and say, you know, who's the best and so forth. And for that group of users, you know, you can actually pick exercises individually in BrainHQ that you want to excel at. And you can get actually like a lot of performance information around exactly how well you've done every single time you've played and where you sit compared to other people. And you know, frankly, those are both perfectly valid ways about going to train your brain. You know, back to physical exercise.
Whatever
motivates you. That's right. Some people are motivated to go for a walk 3 times a week and they just want to check their calendar and say, hey, I did it. And other people want to go out and play basketball and be the high scorer on the team. You know what? Those are both great. They are
I will end this wonderful session with you guessing which one I would be. When I would bring my grades, my mom, and I would say, she said, what'd you get? I'd said 99%. She would say, who got 100? So you can just imagine which one of those I am.
Yes.
Well,
I can imagine
so
the effect that had on your brain development.
Yeah, you bet. So Positive Science CEO, we've been wonderful to talk with Dr. Manka. Take a look at BrainHQ. Sign up. You have some freebies there. You may even get a reduction in your driving insurance. And more importantly, they won't want to take the keys away from you. And I will say to everybody, as I do each week, get out there, kids, even if you have to stay in, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate.
Okay. I know you have to run, but that was terrific.
Oh, I really enjoyed chatting with you. And I do have to step out, but I'm very happy to move my schedule around. It was really a pleasure to talk to you about all those topics. So thanks for making the time.
No, wasn't it great? I mean, we really covered a lot of ground. It's so valuable. And I thank you very much.
Yep.
I'll get all that information to
you. You're a very fun person to talk to, so you made it easy. Thank you.
Great. And I'll clue you in on our conferences. We have great conferences.
Okay, super. I look forward to it.
Very good. Take care.
All right. Have a great weekend and a great holiday season, Adrian. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.